Back to Micah, please. Micah chapter number 6. And I'm just going to do our best to follow the Spirit of God. And the Lord surely took the message in a direction I wasn't expecting today, but He does all things well. And so we don't doubt what He does. I really believe He was in that. But again, we're looking at the Lord that has a controversy with the people of Israel. And they have been blessed. God has delivered them and brought them out of bondage. And He was making good on a covenant that He had made with Abraham, that He was going to make Abraham a great nation. But yet, folks, God is a God that does not make us. He gives us a will to follow or not follow. They chose not to follow. They followed, but they murmured, complained, and worshiped idols and yoked up with their own people, and married their own people, made a mess of things. And they're at the point where, Israel, if you study them, a king would take the throne that loved God, but he wouldn't completely wipe out what dishonored God. You know, he'd take care of idols, but he'd leave the grove, where they worship God, these false gods. He'd leave a little bit. And that would cause Israel to run well a while, and then they'd go back. Folks, if we don't get rid of everything that would defile, everything that in our lives that we know that will have the tendency to cause us to go back, we're not going to make it. If we don't get rid of everything that hinders us, everything that would be a stumbling block to us, in Israel, they wouldn't do that. Notice the verses. Hear ye now what the Lord saith, arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants and sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the Lord, before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Fellas, if y'all give me just a little bit more, I'd appreciate that. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. And we're so thankful for Jesus. And thank you, Lord God, for saving a soul this morning. To God be the glory. And Father, I pray now, Lord, that you touch your people. Lord, I need a touch spiritually. I need a touch physically tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd put a hedge around my mind and my heart. Enable me, Lord, to preach the gospel, preach the word. And Lord, you know every need that's in the building. Lord, there's needs that we know some and some we don't, but you know them all. And I pray you meet the needs. If there's one here lost, save them, Lord. If there's one that's walked far off, I pray, Lord, you'd bring them back in fellowship. And Lord, whatever the needs are, we pray you'd meet them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, this morning, I actually could have a couple of titles to this. And the title I used in the past was pleading present repentance because of past redemption. Folks, if anything ought to keep us straight is remembering where God brought us from. Remembering where we were when God found us. See, we didn't find the Lord. And I don't fuss at anybody when they say, well, I found the Lord. The Lord has never been lost. He found us. He came to where we were. We couldn't get to him because we were dead in trespasses and sin. And so he came to where we were and brought us up also. And so when we think about where we were and where we probably could be and probably would be had he not passed by. I mean, honestly, you think about your life, where you'd be if the Lord hadn't come by your way. What kind of life you'd have if God had not saved you and rescued you and changed your heart, changed your mind about your sin and about yourself and about the Savior and about being saved. God changed your mind. Folks, again, I'm not a Calvinist by any means, but I understand this. Folks, we were dead. Had God not given us the faith, had the Lord not enlightened us, had God not made a move toward us, you and I would be still in a mess. We'd still, folks, you don't get saved when you want to. We know what I preach that. You know that. A lot of people say, well, when I get ready to get saved, I'll get saved. You'll never get saved. When I get ready, when I get things in order, no, getting saved will get things in order for you. But he came to where we were. He enlightened their heart, enlightened their mind. Give us faith to believe what the world calls a fairy tale. See, they ever get out, they ever hear the gospel, the Spirit of God get a hold of them, things will change in their heart and mind. Amen. Amen. Don't get too mad at them when they say, I don't believe that. Amen. That's foolishness. Well, that's what the world calls preaching, the foolishness of preaching. But God chose it to save them that believe. Amen. Amen. God said, hey, his medium today is preaching of the gospel. Proclaiming the word of God. That's the catalyst. When we proclaim it, the Spirit of God can begin to provoke or to convict that person. But Jesus came by. When we begin to stray, we begin to drift. When our minds, you know, and I promise you, it don't take many days of trying to do right to the energy of your flesh to find out you're drifting. Israel had forgotten. They had forgotten the goodness of God. They had forgotten what God had done for them. They had gotten such a way of living and a way of life, they just let that slip. We should never let that slip. So this morning, we notice the Lord's request in verse number 3. Now, I'm not going to preach it all, but he said, oh, my people, he's lamenting now. And he's also, I thought about this a while ago, he also is showing mercy. I mean, up to Micah, you go all the way back from Exodus on, how much mercy has the Lord shown them? Now, he chastened them. He also put some in the grave. And that first generation all died in the wilderness being God's people, but never knowing what Canaan's land was. Never having that full victory in their life because they were bent to backsliding. That's what the Bible called it. He said they were bent to backsliding. They had set their mind. We're not doing none of that. They were bent to backsliding. But he is showing mercy. And he begins to give them this supplication. And he asks them, he said, what have I done unto thee? Wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. That's kind of where we stayed today. Folks, never in our lives can we blame God. The most foolish thing you'll ever do is blame God for anything. See, pride does that. I don't deserve this. Oh, folks, honestly, I think I probably have made that statement before. I don't deserve this. No, you deserve hell. Again, our lot, sometimes in life, isn't pleasant. We don't understand where God's moving and what God's doing. But we always know God is doing right. And none of us will ever stand before him and say, well, you just let me down today. But now, look at verse number 4. He takes another step. Look at it with me. Not only, he begins in verse 3 requesting, tell me what I've done to you. And then in verse 4, he's telling them what he's done for them. What have I done to you? Verse 4, what have I, he showed, look what I've done for you. We see the Lord's rescue. We see salvation. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. So now he's saying, look, I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He redeemed thee out of the house of servants. Get this. He said, there's an uplifting rescue there. Everything, every time you go to Egypt, you had to go down there to it. Nobody goes up to it. Egypt, a type of the world, a type of bondage, a picture of bondage. All we know of God's people in Egypt is being in bondage and being controlled by Pharaoh, or could I say the devil? And they could not get out. It had them captured. They had no peace, no hope. They were that their life consisted of being under the bondage of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. But the Lord said, I rescued you from that. You couldn't rescue yourself. You couldn't get yourself out of that. But I came by. It is an uplifting. He said, I came down and brought you up. And I brought you out. Whew. An uplifting. I'm glad God came and lifted me out. That old song, he lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He planted my feet. And I don't know the rest of it. In a heavenly way, I'll tell it wherever I go, for I want the whole world to know. I'm glad that he loved me so, because he lifted me out. Amen. Amen. He lifted him. He said, now, I'm asking you what I did. What have I done to you? Now, let me tell you what I've done for you. Folks, what are you going to look at God and say he's ever done to you but good? And then, Lord, you've never done nothing but good to me, but look what all you've done good for me. It was an uplifting rescue, but then it was an outstanding rescue. I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Folks, I am so thankful. You remember, the Lord's given this illustration of Israel and Pharaoh's bondage. You remember all the times that Moses and Aaron would go before Pharaoh and he'd say, well, you can do this, but that's all you can do. Remember one time he said, you can go out of Egypt and worship your God, but you gotta leave your family here. Hey, don't ever try to make a deal with the devil. That's what Pharaoh, hey, make a deal with me. I'll let you go do a little bit of godly stuff, but you're still under my power. You're still under my control. Folks, when God lifts us up, he takes us out. See, there is an evidence of conversion. When you get converted, you get saved, there's a change. Not only a change in your life, but a change in your location. It's a change. Hey, when God sent Moses the deliverer, picture Christ, and brought them out, he didn't just take them up the road. He took them completely out of Egypt. In other words, he made them a separate people. That's what God did. He told them, said, you'll be a separate people. Folks, what God said to Israel, he said to the church, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So it was a uplifting, it was an outstanding rescue, but it was also a priceless one. He said, I redeemed thee. The Lord redeemed. We know the word redeemed means to buy something, to pay for it. You understand? Folks, you talk about that word redeemed, it's really a blessing to study it. It has two or three thoughts to it. Lord, redeem me. He came and found me, and I was in the slave market of sin. That's where I was. He redeemed me from there. We could talk about Hosea and Gomer, but we won't use that with it tonight. But he found me in the slave market of sin. I was in sin. Can I say this? Just like Hosea saw Gomer at her worst. At her worst, he saw her. But he still redeemed her. As I know that's a picture of God in Israel, what a picture of Christ in the church.
Amen.
What about us as individuals? He redeemed us from the slave market of sin. Then that word redeemed, it goes from there. He redeemed us from there, and he redeemed us and took us out of there. Folks, he didn't leave. He took me as I was, but he didn't leave me as I was.
Amen.
Get a hold of that. He redeemed Israel from Egypt, but he didn't leave her there. He made a complete change in it and brought it out. Folks, people make professions of faith, but I don't believe it's true salvation. Why? Because the Lord, when he redeems you, he takes you out of that. He removes you from that. He changes your heart, your desire. He takes you from, he buys you there. He looks at you at your worst, sees you're no good, no count, but he redeems you anyway. Then that redemption, he brings you out of there. There's another step. He redeems you there, brings you out of there, and he never wants you to return. You never have to return there. Somebody sings that song, I don't live here anymore. However that song goes, it's about half biblical, I think, but y'all know the one I'm talking about. That's right. He took me out. He redeemed me. I was in the slave market of sin. He redeemed me, took me out, and I don't live there anymore. And if I take my own will and go back over there, I'll never be happy there. I'll never be content there. I'll never be satisfied there. I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you what group of people is more miserable than a lost man. And that's a saved man living like one. Anybody I've ever seen get truly born again, truly changed, truly get into the things of God, worship, serve God for X amount of time, X amount of years, then something come up, something happen, whatever it is, whatever tool the devil used, and they get out of church. And you see those folks, they are the most bitter, angry people you'll ever meet. Preacher, why would you say that? How can you explain that? You run into some of them, you'll know what. Because what I see is this. They know that they ain't where they're supposed to be. They know their lives under the chastening of God. But because of their pride and shame, they won't repent, get back in fellowship. So what do? they begin to convince their own heart and mind that it's somebody else's fault that they're not in church. And they hate anything to do with it anymore. That's a miserable, folks. Israel, when they went away from God, you notice their life, they were miserable people. Miserable people. Folks, I can say this as a Christian. I've never been relaxed out of the will of God. I've never been peaceful out of the will of God. I've never been happy out of the will of God. So, it was uplifting. It was outstanding. It was priceless. Look at verse number 5. We see the Lord's rescue, verse 3. You fellas in Bible college, this is expository preaching, by the way. The Lord's rescue in verse 3. The Lord's request in verse 3. The Lord's rescue in verse 4. The Lord's reminder in verse number 5. Verse 3, we have supplication. Verse 4, we have salvation. Verse 5, we have security. Look at verse 5. Oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Here's a reminder of God's faithfulness and of God's protection. Again, we won't go back. Numbers 22, and I mentioned this morning, so I'm going to run by this. The devil does his best. He's the accuser of the brethren. Is he not? And the best way I can explain that is every time you fail God, he approaches and points it out. He's always accusing us. Now, we see a physical picture of it. When the devil is trying to get God, accusing God's people, trying to get God to curse them. Folks, again, the devil's smarter than I'll ever be and you'll ever be every time. But you have to be in a special wicked place to think you can ask God to curse his own people. It's kind of like this. Growing up, my children, I know it may be some of you that is against this stuff now, but you know, the rod of correction is what I was raised under. Amen. And you know, I'm not talking about child abuse. I see a man abusing a child, I'm going to abuse him. Or pay somebody else to do it. But I never have needed anyone to come to me and say, hey, whoop your boy. Whoop your daughter. Well, that's a sure way for me to say, no, I ain't doing it. You don't tell me to whip my children. I'm their daddy. I know if they need one, I'll take care of that. I mean, it's like Satan going up to God and say, hey, whoop your youngin. Curse your child. And in that example, we see God's ultimate protection. Even Satan knows, I can't even touch him unless God says so. I can't come near. Hey, again, I mentioned this last week. No matter what we're going through, just like with, I mentioned Jezebel last week, how she, the gods that just showed they couldn't do anything. She's praying to him, says she's going to kill Elijah. Elijah was in no danger. The God she determined that she was going to kill Elijah by couldn't even bring fire from heaven. Israel forgot how protected they was. Folks, us as God's people, the church, we don't need to forget how protected we are. We don't need to forget how protected we are. So the Lord's reminder of his faithfulness, of his protection, he's reminding Israel of that. Why in the world would they want to step out of that themselves? Folks, I'm not talking about losing salvation. That's an impossibility. But you can't take yourself out of the protection hand of God. place yourself in a spot out of the will of God and make yourself open prey. Why would you do that? Why would I do that? Why would Israel do that? That shows you how strong the flesh is. Notice, I believe this is the last one. Notice this with me, please. We went. Now the Lord is leading here. He gets their attention in verse 3. He reminds them in verse 4 and 5 of how he brought them up, lifted them out, how he's protecting them. And now the Lord in verse 8 gives his requirements. So we saw supplication in verse 3. We saw salvation in verse 4. We saw security in verse 5. But now we see stipulations in verse number 8. I'm going to show you this picture in verse 8, how that God's commandments are not grievous. Look at verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Listen, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Is that asking too much? Is God asking too much? Let's break it down. The first thing he said is to do justly. Now, to do is an action. Is that right? To do is an action. He speaks how we live. Justly means morally right, fair in acting, to the exact point, exactly right. He said, I just want you to behave yourself. When you told your children how you better behave yourself, you weren't asking too much of them. You weren't asking them to do something that they couldn't do. Hey, just do right. To do justly, morally right, fair in acting, to the exact point. So he first thing he said, do justly, behave. And then secondly he said, to love mercy. If to do justly is action, to love mercy is a reaction. To love mercy is a reaction. See, we're not only to love the mercy of God, but we are to be merciful in our own dealings with others. If anybody ought to know anything about mercy, it was God's people here. Folks, God showed them mercy by leaving a remnant. And I know I've said this many, many times. I'm going to say it again tonight to remind you. Any other country that had walked away from God like Israel, they'd have been annihilated. But God made a promise. And he left a remnant. Folks, God's made the church promises. And he's left a remnant. For the most part, the spirit of Laodicea is everywhere, but there's still some others that's from Philadelphia, that brotherly love and that honoring God and serving God. Folks, where is our mercy? People have very little mercy anymore. But the Lord said, I want you to love mercy. The Lord loves mercy so much, he makes it brand new every morning. Let me tell you something. When I was growing up, he said, preacher, why do you talk like that about yourself? Because I don't know how y'all did it. Write it down, I'll use your life. But growing up, if I didn't eat breakfast, my stomach was growling in first period. And every night, my mama would go ahead and make some biscuits, put them in one of them Tupperware things, and in the morning she'd get up, she'd fry some type of meat. Now, I understand y'all used to having this fancy meat. When I say meat, it wasn't bacon or sausage. It was Winnie's or treat. All that stuff's good fried, y'all. Huh? And then she'd make some gravy. And Monday through Friday, I ate it every morning. But she cooked biscuits fresh every day. Hey, you say, well, the only reason she did that because there wasn't any left. Sometimes there was. She loved me so much. After she worked all day and after she, you know, she come home and done housework and done washing, done ironing, done all this stuff after working hard. And then 9:30, 10, 11 o'clock, she's in there making fresh biscuits for her baby. That was me. Fresh every day. And love generated that. The Lord loves mercy so much, we don't have to go on old mercy. We get new mercy every day. So I'm asking you, are you giving new mercy? I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about yoking with the wrong crowd. I'm not talking about okay and sin, but mercy. Then he said, to walk humbly with thy God. God wants us to walk with him, but not as him, but walk with him as our Father, Abba Father. He said, I want you to walk humbly. How can I walk humbly? Go back to the start. The Lord's been nothing but good to me. He brought me up, out, and he protects me every day. And then you can realize every good gift comes from above. God is merciful to me. He loves me. He cares for me. And you're going to walk up close to him. Why would you want to walk afar off to someone that loves you like that? You want to get right up next to him. It's like a child and a mother. When the storm came, the power was out, and we had a generator that lasted a couple, 3 days, and Taylor and Maddie and the kids was at the house, and Tripp, we tried to get Tripp to sleep with us. He'd sleep a little while. He'd get up. He didn't speak, kind of like his daddy, but he looked at us. He'd go. What was he doing that for? That's where Mama was. Now, he says Mama now, but then he'd make it clear. I want to be by her side. I got up one morning. I was trying to be quiet. Look, poor Maddie had two young'uns just all over. They knew who Mama was. Amen. I remember growing up, I loved my daddy, but when I really, really needed some comfort, I'd get close to my mama. Amen. Most mamas has kept a lot of us boys from getting killed by daddy a lot. And folks, when we get to think about that in the Lord, how he has been nothing but good, and how he did for me what I couldn't do for myself, and how he protects me, why in the world would I have a problem doing justly and loving mercy and walking humbly with him? Why would I have a problem with that? But it seems like we do, don't we? Help us, Lord. Let's all stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The altar is open. If you need to come, you come. Folks are coming.